podcast family. Welcome to Motherhood in Black and White. My name is Kanji.
I'm Tara.
And we thank you for tuning in for another episode of this podcast. This week was really exciting for me, Tara. I had a chance to attend a virtual conference, which was headlined by two of my favorite speakers. Can you guess who they were?
Was one of them Dolly Parton?
One would think, because we know how obsessed I am with Dolly Parton. Mm. Now, I don't know why I asked you to guess, because...
Because you screenshotted me to make me jealous.
You know, when I did it, I realized that that was probably going to be what you thought I was doing. And full disclosure, it was.
Right, that's right.
It absolutely was, because when you attended a virtual conference a few months ago, mm-hmm. you screenshot the headliner there, and it was John Legend.
That's right.
Serenading you.
That's right.
So when we had the chance today at the virtual conference I attended to listen to Mr. Adam Grant and Miss Serena Williams, I was fangirling all over the place and screenshotting everything and sharing it with you.
I know. I loved it. As you know, Adam Grant is one of my favorites. And I mean, who doesn't love Serena Williams?
I don't know how you can't love Serena Williams. And listening to her talk about her journey as a tennis superstar and a champion of champions, and she's the GOAT, also a business person who has gotten to the venture capital space. She shared a lot about what her feelings are and her thoughts about mental health awareness, especially since it's more heightened in terms of some of the conversations we're having this year. And she noted and mentioned how 10 years ago and 15 years ago, we weren't having these conversations when she was just coming up in the athletic world.
Yes, I've seen her talk about it quite a bit in the last couple of years. And I thought about that once. I'm like, you know, she's been playing since she was, I don't know, 4 or 5, and competitively, at least since she was a teenager. Obviously, those aren't new issues for her. So I'm curious about how different that must be, mm-hmm. having this big change and shift in the mindset around that.
It was a great conversation to hear her perspective. And she also talked about mentoring a lot of the younger women who are coming up in the athletic world. Mm. And she mentioned towards the end of the conversation that she's won all of these Grand Slam tournaments and she's won championships and accolades. And, you know, she's a multimillionaire many times over. But she said, you know, the greatest joy in her life is being a mom. And she mentioned how last night or a couple of nights ago when she was having the conversation that she was building a fort with her daughter Olympia and just hanging out. And it kind of brought a tear to my eye because I remembered those days when my kid wanted something to do with me.
That's right. Wanted to actually engage in activities with us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Serena Williams is raising a toddler. And it's a different mindset because it's a different part of the motherhood journey, right?
Yes.
Where we are, you and I, my friend, mm-hmm. the adolescent part of the journey, how would you coin it? What would you term this part of your journey?
I would call this the careful watch, but hands-off phase. I don't know. I feel like I'm monitoring a lot, but not always invited in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I would call it right now, for me, the hashtag doing the best I can.
I knew you'd do better than me.
It's not a contest. Never a contest. But our guest mom today is at another part of her journey. And this is the part of the journey where she is experiencing empty nest. Mm-hmm. Empty nest hood.
Empty nesting. I don't know.
I like yours better. See? That's why we're the perfect pair. We trade off here.
That's right.
Empty nesting.
Empty nesting.
You got, you know, me versus words.
That's right.
And so our guest today is going to talk with us about how it feels to be an empty nester, her motherhood journey, having successfully raised 3 children. The youngest is a sophomore in college. And now in this point of her life and at this point in her journey, she has embarked on a new career, and that is one of being a writer. So we are going to welcome Brenna to the conversation. Hey, Brenna, this is Kanji. How are you, my friend?
I am so good. How are you?
I am great. Now, Brenna, do you remember Tara from our cycling days?
I think I do. I wish I was seeing you both up close and personal, but I think I remember you from cycling days.
I was always on the front row. Were you a 5 a.m.er?
I was a 5 a.m.er sometimes, but not all the time. In the beginning days, I was a 5 a.m.er.
I'm sure we crossed paths. I'm much better at faces than I am voices.
Me too.
We have the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. We really should call it the 6 degrees of Kanji.
Right.
100%. That should be a game.
There are so many ways that our lives just intersect with one another, especially in the Dallas metropolitan area. And so, Brenna, I am so glad that you have come into my orbit and my universe and thrilled to share your story and your voice with our podcast family. So thank you again for jumping on and speaking with us this week.
Oh my goodness, Kanji, anything for you, my love.
Oh, you know that feeling is mutual. You are just one of my favorite humans. You've given birth to another one of my favorite humans, one of our Embrace Action interns, Talia. So she has flown the coop, flown the nest, and you are now an empty nester. And before you joined us, Tara and I were talking about phases of our motherhood journey and how now both of us are raising these adolescent boys. And you are now experiencing empty nesting with your 3 children having grown and flown the coop. What is it that you weren't prepared for at this part of your journey?
It's such an interesting question. I think what comes to mind first is it just being so quiet, which is really, really interesting when you think about how meditation is so involved in my life. It's 2 different kinds of quiet. We are used to a revolving door of kids in and out all the time, and the hustle and bustle of the kitchen and the outside. And it comes to a quick stop.
Do you think that you would have been able to embark on the meditation and mindfulness practice when you had 3 little ones running in the house?
Absolutely not. And I think interesting is that's probably when I needed it the most.
Right.
Where do you have 5 minutes when your kids are younger?
Right.
You probably do, but you just don't know where it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
So now that the kids, your 3 children are adults and have left the house, you decided to join and embark on a meditation and mindfulness journey. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and how you got involved in this?
It was actually probably COVID that brought it on, because it gave me the time that I needed that I could actually focus on it. I think I was always interested a little bit in meditation, more curious, because it is something that I thought I would never, ever be able to do. Because my form of giving time to myself was always, I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to go for a spin. And it was always a very active, something very active that gave me the relaxation I was looking for. But then I think something somehow switched and I was looking for something a little bit more quiet. I needed to give myself some extra time and to give myself some extra peace. And that's when I kind of just stumbled on, I was actually, funny enough, thinking of becoming a yoga instructor. Through my thinking about my journey, you know, because I practiced yoga off and on for years, meditation just kept popping up. And the idea of meditation kept popping up. And I was curious enough to just finally just start learning about it and reading about it and practicing on my own. And it has probably been one of the best things I've ever done for myself.
That's amazing. It's so funny how we wait so long to try something and it turns out to be the thing, right?
It's definitely the thing. It's just given me, I don't think of myself as a selfish person at all, but I'm giving this to myself. So it's like, it's being selfish in a really, really good way, because it's just something that's so good for you. And then that trickles down to the people in your life and everyone, you know, everything else that you have to do during the day.
And when you got started, I mean, was there a specific book that you really got into? Was there an app you use? I mean, how did you just jump in and get started? Are you just somebody that starts taking it all in?
That's a really interesting question. I didn't do a book. I was up very late one night and I was doing some research into yoga, and meditation just kept popping up. And I was like, is this a sign? It's 3 a.m. and it's like meditation just keeps popping up. I think maybe I need to start putting yoga on the backside and start reading what's popping up. And I started reading it and I started getting really, really intrigued by meditation. And the thing that intrigued me the most was that meditation is the retraining of your mind. And wow, that's interesting. And so I just started reading more about it. And then I started just sitting. And I know it sounds a little crazy, but I just started sitting and breathing, then learning about it. And then that led me to take a course in it and to become certified in meditation and mindfulness. And it just kind of took on its own journey. There wasn't a plan. It just kind of happened. And it just took on its own journey.
Mm. So if there is a mom who has little ones or does not have the quiet in their house that empty nesting has given you, how would she start?
I wouldn't even go for 5 minutes. I would find 1 minute. 1 minute in your day, because I think everyone can find 1 minute, whether it's setting your alarm for a couple minutes earlier or in your car while you're waiting to go into, you know, carpool line. Just find 1 minute to sit and just breathe. It doesn't have to be anything. There's no right or wrong way. You just can take in 4 breaths. You can take out 4 breaths. You can feel your breathing slow down. Find a minute. And if you can't find a minute, find 30 seconds. You have to just rip the band-aid and just start somewhere.
And when you start, what are some of the immediate benefits that we can expect to experience from a meditative practice?
An overall calm comes on, and you can actually feel your heart rate slowing down. Once that happens, it's like this, just this, your aura, you just become calmer.
Mm.
I love that Kanji asks for immediate benefit. I'm going to need immediate benefits, Brenna.
you both know me. You know how that is.
Yeah.
Calm is something that I need. Calm is something that we all have needed during this pandemic.
Yeah.
It's so important and also so interesting to me that you were able to find this during the pandemic when I can only assume that you were probably one of the most anxious people dealing with the pandemic because of some of the health challenges that you have been encountering and living with and what a COVID diagnosis could have meant for you. Would you be willing to open up and share with our family some of the health challenges you face and how you've become an advocate for autoimmune disease?
Sure. So I was diagnosed with lupus in, I think, 2015, after many, many years of just crazy symptoms and symptoms that you go to the doctor and they, you may have this, you may have that. Let's do some blood work. Sometimes things show up, sometimes things don't show up. You start feeling like you're going a little nuts. But after a while, it does show up in one way or another on tests. And that's what happened to me after multiple years. So I was diagnosed in about 2015. And lupus is an autoimmune disease, which basically your immune system that is supposed to fight for you and protect you, it attacks you. So it's your body's a little backwards, let's say. You can get really sick. And so you basically have to take medications to suppress your immune system. So then a pandemic hits and everyone needs their immune system to try to protect them against COVID. So I'm on medications to suppress mine, which puts me at high risk for catching COVID. And I could definitely get very sick. And so I was in so much. I mean, Philip and the kids became so protective over me. For me, even though it was so wonderful and they were doing the right thing, it was very suffocating to me. I needed to breathe. And that's when meditation really, really kind of came into my life. It helped me breathe through everything was going on with the pandemic and trying to keep myself so safe. It also made me extremely passionate about living this lifestyle that is just a very positive life. And I just became very passionate about trying to share that with people and just trying to take these situations that we have no control over, like living with something chronic. It's not who I am. It's a part of who I am, but I can choose to live the most positive life with it. That's kind of the way I've chosen to be.
I love that attitude.
And it is a choice, the way that we choose to deal with the cards we've been dealt. One of the things that we have been very conscious and cognizant of recently is how we identify people. And one of the things we talk about is people who have disabilities or illnesses, understanding that that disability or that illness does not define them. And so, Brenna, I love it when you just said, you know, I am someone who lives with lupus. It's not something that defines me.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important because I don't want to be labeled. And I think a lot of people label each other and put each other in different boxes. And I am very, very vocal and very outspoken about the fact that I do have this. I have this chronic illness, and the goal is to get into a like a remission state to where you're symptom free on medication. I could wake up tomorrow and have a flare. So you know what? I'm going to get the best out of today that I could possibly get. And it doesn't define who I am. I'm still going to go do whatever it is I'm going to go do. And if I have a bad day, I have a bad day, but tomorrow might be better. And that's just the outlook that I have on everything in life now.
That's amazing. And so you've been on medication for a few years. I'm curious if you feel like your meditation practice over the last year has sort of helped with your physical illness as well. Like if you've seen benefits there.
I definitely think it has, because I think I'm an overall calmer person. And I think that it takes a long time to get your mind, body, and soul to work together and to be in balance. And I really feel like I'm in a really good balance. And it's not every day, all day, but I think it's most of the time. And I think meditation has given me that gift.
What is it that you would want people to know about your experience with an invisible illness? I gotta admit to something right now. I gotta fess up. We teased a little earlier about how you and Tara were both cycling students of mine many years ago. So Brenna, you and I have now known each other for about 5 years. It's still weird for me to believe that it's been that long.
I know.
But I just remember you always coming into the cycling studio, your energy and your ability, and so strong and so committed. And I just loved your smile and everything about you. And then I think I had been teaching for a few weeks and someone shared with me that you had been diagnosed with lupus. And I will admit that I immediately started I was very cautious of how I was calling you out in class. I started assuming that I knew what was best for you. I'm thinking like, oh, Brenna's going too fast. Brenna's going too hard, you know? And I started approaching that without ever asking you. And I never apologized to you for that behavior that I exhibited. And I own that. And I am so sorry for doing that.
Kanji. You know what? Your class made me feel strong. You and your class gave me such strength. That was a gift to every single person in that class. So you have nothing to apologize for.
Well, thank you for that. But I just wonder if that's something that I've done and something that a lot of us are conditioned to do, is when we think of someone having an illness or a disease, that defines who they are. And I love what you've been saying to us. It doesn't. How can we be more mindful of that in our interactions with people who either have disabilities or are suffering from diseases that may be invisible, or even those that may be visible? What would be some advice that you could offer to us?
I love how you say that it's an invisible disease, because it is, because a lot of what's going on is on the inside. A person's not going to be able to see that maybe every joint in my body's hurting, or that I might have inflammation, you know, in my lungs. So maybe like I'm talking to you, but it actually hurts to breathe. So there's a lot of things, because it's just because people don't know. And I think the most important thing is to just wake up every day. And when you go and you talk to people, you have to talk to people knowing that someone may be struggling, but you don't know. So you have to be kind. People need to treat each other like just regular human beings, and just have a sense of kindness when they're talking to someone, because someone might be going through something that's invisible that you can't see. It's difficult. There's always a fine line, because I think that people, you want to be treated absolutely normal because you don't want to be labeled as having anything. But at the same time, you want to be conscious of the fact that someone might be struggling with something, if that makes any sense.
No, that absolutely makes sense. Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And obviously, you've raised three children and doing it all with this health journey you've been on and starting this new meditation practice, but it also sounds like, from what I've heard from Kanji, that you're writing a book.
I have the biggest smile on my face because that is my baby.
Brenna.
What?
You just got rid of your baby and sent her to college, and you just aren't done with this motherhood journey.
You had to
journey.
Find a new one.
Listen, you two mamas, once a mama, always a mama. Like, that's just the way it is. But this book is really important to me. It's called Water Stops. And actually, when you said that earlier, Kanji, it just gave me goosebumps. I was like, oh, that's mine.
Aw.
I sometimes hear someone talk about my journey or I think about my journey, and I find it really interesting because I haven't really planned it out. It's just all things that have kind of happened. And I just decided one day, I just wanted to take two experiences that I had and write about them and put them together because they both taught me such lessons in life. And they're lessons that I'm now using in my meditation and mindful practices and another certification that I'm working on that I just want to help people with. And that's what my book is all about.
Would you mind sharing with us what those two experiences are, or do we have to wait for the book?
No, I'll share them. One of them was my whole diagnosis with lupus. My first very, very bad flare. When I was diagnosed, I was like, great, this is awesome. You know, I felt vindicated for all the strange things I was feeling for years. But then I went into complete denial until I got very sick with a bad flare. And that kind of was like, okay, I hear you. I'm going to listen to my doctors. I'm going to be the best patient now. And I learned so much through that experience. And then in 2009, I ran the New York Marathon. And training for that, I didn't realize it until much later, until I was trying to get healthy again from this horrible lupus flare that I had, that all these tools that I learned when I trained for the marathon were going to help me. So you never know, whatever situation you're in today, you just don't know how it's going to impact you later. And that is what my book is about.
I love how you've tied those two experiences together. I'm a former, maybe future again, marathon runner myself. So I totally get that.
Yeah, I put them together. And then Water Stops is just basically, it's stopping. It's stopping when you're going through something, or to give yourself a minute to say, like, okay, if you're going through something and it's tough, it's to give yourself a minute to kind of recoup and to get your thoughts together before, you know, you can move on. Or it's, you know, it depends on the situation, or it's taking something really, really big that's going on in your life and breaking it down smaller so you can achieve it. It's basically just kind of giving you a minute to regroup when you need it. And that's just something that I learned through both those experiences.
So I was going to ask you what water stops meant. And then when you said the marathon, I go, oh, I know what that means.
Water stops, yeah.
I got it. That's totally real.
You actually will appreciate this. I used to do a lot of my training, my big runs at White Rock Lake.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And one of the things I loved about this, and I write about this in my book, was I never really had to worry if I ran out of water because they have water fountains everywhere.
Right.
There was one day, and I think maybe you'll understand this being a runner, where there's some runs that are great and there's some runs that are just really bad. Mm-hmm. And this was one run that was just really bad. And I was trying to figure out a way to get through it. And then I told myself, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to think about running. You're just going to think about getting from one water fountain to the next one. And that's it.
Yes. You have to do that. Yes.
That just kind of trickled on to, you know, other thoughts and different things. And I just kind of put it all together.
That's amazing.
And that's also a wonderful way of approaching our motherhood journeys.
Yep.
Sometimes they're going to be easy days, and sometimes there's going to be challenging or really rough days.
Yep.
But if we kind of just focus on getting to the next water stop, on getting to that next level or the next thing, and looking forward with what you said, Brenna, positivity and kindness and awareness that it goes by quickly.
Yeah.
And awareness that there will be another water stop, and yes, we will not die of thirst.
That's right.
Yes, it's so true. Like, you can always get yourself from 1 minute to the next. And I think that even in the worst situation, you'll find something good. Even at that moment, if it's just opening your eyes, I mean, you will find something good even in the worst situation. And that's just kind of what I just want to put out for people and just to help people with.
I can't wait to read that book. Where are you in the process?
I'm hoping it's going to be out in December. That's my goal.
Awesome.
Yes. Finishing up the last bit of editing, then it's going to go into formatting, and then it's going to go into printing. And I'm like giddy. I don't know.
And where will we be able to get it? Regular Amazon bookstores?
It's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be on Kindle. And then I'm also going to have some printed.
I cannot wait to read that book.
Oh, I'll make sure you two get one for sure. For sure.
We will absolutely pick up copies, and we will encourage our listeners to follow your authorship journey and to pick up copies as well. And we would love to have you back to continue the conversation once the book is released. You're just one of my favorite humans on this planet. So any chance I get to chat with you is a good one.
I would love that. And I actually had so many people that were like, oh my God, Brenna, you've got to send Kanji our love. People from the cycle days. And of course, Talia. Yeah.
Of course, your baby girl, who I have adopted, is my baby girl.
I know.
I love that. So we thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us a little bit this week about your meditation and mindfulness practice, your authorship journey, your motherhood journey, and your health journey. You just exude positivity and kindness and strength. And for that, I just love sharing space with you. Thank you.
Oh, well, I do too. And let me tell you, ladies, keep it up. Keep it up. You're doing a great job. And it's been an absolute honor to talk to both of you. And I would love to come back.
Well, that's amazing. We will absolutely have you back. Brenna, I'm so glad to actually talk to you and not just ride in a dark room next to you. It's so nice to officially meet you.
I'm going to take that 30 seconds in my bathroom to be mindful and present and start this meditation thing.
Call me. I will help you in a second.
You have a personal meditation coach on the phone, Kanj.
Yes. If you need help, let me know. I'll be there in a second.
Maybe, Brenna, when we have you on after the book comes out, we could also have you do a guided meditation for our listeners. Would you be open to that?
Absolutely. I would love it.
I think that would be amazing. I think that would go together so well. And I know our listeners need it just as much as Kanji and I do.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we're going to let you go, Brenna. Thank you so much again for joining us this week.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, ladies.
Thank you, good friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Distilling our days into bite-sized pieces, that is a challenge that I am willing to accept, Tara.
Agreed. I'm doing a lot of that these days. I have to take it in small chunks.
I will share again that Brenna made me rethink and revisit how I think about abilities and disabilities. Because again, she is a woman who in her 40s appears physically healthy and well, and I didn't realize the health challenges and struggles that she was facing and dealing with. And she did it with positivity and love and kindness, and it just made me more aware of how I'm showing up in the world, showing up for my friends, and realizing that I don't know what people are going through. I can't even assume to know what people are going through.
Yeah, she made a great point about you don't even have to know. Just go out in the world and be kind and assume that everybody's got their own thing they're doing. And I try to do that pretty regularly. I try to pay attention and keep my own space and let people have theirs. But it can be difficult sometimes.
But it can be done.
It can.
And that's something that we all will endeavor to do, I hope. And it's a good strategy for us to be mindful of. And it's also a great tool for us to teach and model for our kids.
Agreed.
So with that being said, I would love to hear about some things you have coming up on the horizon. We're moving into October. Mm-hmm. What do we got going on for you, T?
Right now, I am all school, all work, all the time. It's just a lot. As you know, it's my last semester at school. I'm in a very challenging class. That's one big project we're working on all semester. And between that and work, I'm doing a lot of long hours, but just a few more months.
Water stops.
Water stops. That's right. I thought about that.
Yes.
I was like, I just do 1 week to the next. And then before I know it, we'll be done.
Yes. And I'll be at the finish line. Can I douse you with a bottle of water, like a whole jug of water or ice bucket challenge?
Not a bucket. Maybe a bottle.
Maybe a big bottle.
We'll see. We'll negotiate.
You heard it, podcast family. We will see. So when Tara crosses that finish line for getting her MBA in December, guess who's going to be there at the finish line with a maybe smallish bottle of water?
Yeah, maybe just a little baby smallish bottle of water.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And podcast family, I hope you will be with us at the finish line when we celebrate Tara together as a family. Let's all celebrate each other, the big wins, the small wins, and just celebrate every single day. With that being said, know that we'll be back next week, same time, same place. You know where to find us on any listening platform. Guard your health, mental, physical, and spiritual. Take good care, podcast family.